Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Forecast is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This episode of Forecast is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly, all streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to Forecast, episode 120. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Scott Johnson.
And we have with us today a couple of TWiT folks. A little inside job by Tony Wang. Joining us, Brian Burnett, editor here at TWiT. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for joining us. And Josh Windisch, also editor here at TWiT.
That's right. Thank you so much.
And you've been here, what, a week?
A week. And they've already put me on.
Yeah, that's what we do.
On a show.
Right into the fire. No rest.
That's been my experience in broadcasting anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So welcome, and thank you guys for joining us. We're going to start out with a prediction from one of our listeners. This comes from Jimmy in Arizona, who says, in the next 25 years, I believe we will no longer need streetlights or stop signs because all the vehicles will be connected to the internet and will adjust to traffic conditions with real traffic conditions and with the current ability to avoid obstacles and people. I see no reason why we need things like streetlights and stop signs. Vehicles will just slow down or find an alternate route.
So he was saying, well, he wasn't just saying, well, hey, we'll come up with a better way of directing traffic that you're still driving in. He's saying, yeah, that'll be true, but the cars will be self-driving anyway. So doesn't it, I mean, basically we're looking at a future where I can hands off, lay back, do whatever I want, and the car will go where I want. It's interesting that he picked out the idea that stop signs and lights would no longer be something that's needed. To me, that seems like a given, wouldn't it? If you had the self-driving car, Tom, you don't need those things.
Well, now he says street lights, and I think he means stop lights, because without street lights, the people can't see. the cars don't need them, the people need them. But if you mean stop lights, then that's an interesting thought where you don't have a stoplight that's randomly kind of controlling an intersection. You have what actually existed a lot in horse and buggy times, which is people and vehicles just mingling in the street and you just avoided one another.
Yeah, they didn't have the rules like that. So let's ask the new guy, Josh, how do you feel about a future where your Honda Civic takes over the minute you get out of your driveway and you don't have to think about it until you pull into work?
How did you know I had a Honda Civic, for one thing? I seriously
well,
do have a...
Scott's psycho.
Do you really? So do I. So I mean, all good internet human beings have a Civic. That's a rule.
I am very much in favor of the self-driving car. I talk about it all the time. So that would be excellent. But I don't know about the getting rid of the signs and the stop signs and traffic lights, though.
Yeah, how do you feel about that as a pedestrian?
As a pedestrian, that would be a problem, because unless I have robotic legs, like you talked about last week, where they just do whatever they want and I can't control it.
Right.
If I'm controlling
self-driving legs.
Right. If I'm controlling my own legs, then I want to be able to see when I can cross the street.
Well, but the idea is that the cars would know you're there, and so you just cross, and they would slow down and not hit you.
Well, I mean, it still can't stop, like, within... If it's going a certain speed, it can't just stop like that.
Well, if cars
still hit you.
Cars are driving themselves around, why would you walk at all? Yeah, if I'm going to Petaluma Market, I'm just going to hop in my car and drive right over to the parking
just
lot.
Just to go to Petaluma Market down the street?
Yeah. That's like across the street.
That's across the street,
Ryan. It would take you longer to walk to your car than
you
have to walk to the market.
Have you seen those self-driving cars go by? They're going like 80 miles per hour down there.
Yeah, but they'll stop.
No, they won't. Not fast enough.
Well, see, that's the trick, right? Either these cars are going to have to be, I think there's a better solution for this, but the cars have to be smart enough to say, there's a half a dozen people crossing the street. And therefore, we all auto-stop, auto-slow. We know well in advance that there are people there because the grid is telling the car this. It's not just when you get inside of it, you know a couple of blocks away if there's going to be congestion of people crossing the road. But I think until we get to maybe that advanced point, we do like Vegas does on the Strip. You just build big crosswalks that overhang that, you have to cross the road above everybody, not below.
That's costly, though. I mean,
it is very
expensive. In a small town, Maybe you're in some small town in Utah, perhaps, south of Salt Lake City. Are you going to be able to build these big pedestrian ways everywhere? Well, you guys don't walk anywhere, so.
Well, there is some walking going on. And it's funny I should even say this, or you should bring that up. I've been almost killed twice walking out where I live, once in the winter where a guy just didn't see me, and once while somebody was texting and wasn't paying attention. And both times walking the dog, or one time jogging or whatever. It would actually help me if we could get to a future where these cars would say, oh, well, even though I'm still in this driveway, the grid is telling me dude is jogging and he will intersect here in, I don't know, 30 seconds. So we're going to leave in 40 or something like that. And the guy in the car can just sit back and read his paper. Who cares?
Well, it would be costly to take down all of those signs and lights, too.
Right.
Less costly than building a big pedestrian walkway. But I think you're right. I think we need to leave the signage up for the pedestrians.
Yeah.
The cars don't need them because Jimmy's right. They can receive sort of sensory input and know that, oh, this is a place where I need to slow down and watch for pedestrians. That's fine. But I think we need to know what kind of control is going on. Is it a stoplight? Is it a stop sign? What should I be looking out for?
What if we end up going full, like, Fifth Element on all this stuff, where we build up? In other words, all of the old infrastructure, crossing signals and crosswalks and all the stuff that used to tell us what to do there just stays where it is, ground level, and cars begin to hover, then they begin to fly, then they begin to whatever, and by the time we're done, we're, 60 feet in the air doing whatever we do, and that stuff down there is just for, whatever part of society we have decided to cast off.
The Morlocks
down in the Morlocks or the Chud, they'll live down there with that stuff, and we can have our cars in the air. I mean, honestly, I think that is what will happen at some point. I mean, we do this now with development. A new area gets developed, old areas get left behind, they become dilapidated. Nobody wants to go there anymore. Become crime ridden, fall apart, and then maybe once in a while, the city will say, "Let's inject some money in there," and they rebuild it and they make something awesome about it or out of it. And that like that whole area when you were here in Salt Lake, Tom, called the Gateway. I know you and Eileen went there. That whole area used to be just the most run down, horrible place you could imagine. And the city decided to turn it into this awesome shopping thing. And now it's really cool and everybody goes there. That happens all the time. But I do think it's easier for cities and societies to just sort of try to ignore the mess that they've left and just build up or build out or go somewhere else new. And because we're running out of going out, we could just start going up, build our way up there.
I don't think we'll go up, though. I don't think we have enough population. I think the population is going to start declining. I know we think of population as constantly going up, but I think eventually it'll be going down by the time we'd want to build up. I don't know if we have the economic motivation to do that.
So we'll start becoming more of a tunneling culture.
Well, I didn't say we'd go down, but that's... That's where
Apple's
men,
going. With
the
their stores
men will want us to go down.
Well, once the atmosphere is gone, we'll have to go somewhere.
Yeah. I think this is long after the self-driving car. Oh, I should point out, a bunch of people in the chat room pointed out Google Glasses is the solution to this. Because then it tells you when the cars are coming and when you should stop and when you should walk.
What about the people that can't afford Google Glasses? Or will everyone just get them for
then
free?
You have no business walking unless you're rich.
Stay indoors.
Maybe where you're saying the population will decline. Maybe that's because all the people that can't afford that will just die off.
When you're poor, stay indoor.
It just seems like it seems like Hong Kong has no choice, though. Having spent some time there, and sure, let's say worldwide population goes on the decline, that's still a city where they've decided to build up for everything. So that is the vibe in Hong Kong when I was there. There's no room anywhere except up, and they build up, and these skyscrapers go forever, and they're really tightly packed, and they have 9 million floors per building, which is an exaggeration, but not that far off.
Not far, yeah.
No, and it seems like those kinds of quote-unquote communities or cities are going to have little choice because they can't go out. They can make another artificial island like they did for the new... Well, it's not new now, but their airport they use now used to be nothing. And they built a landfill island out there and built it on top of it. They could do more of that, I suppose. But it seems to me like big cities like that, where they have limited resources in terms of new real estate to build on or in, they're going to have to go up. This is a totally different prediction, I just realized.
Yeah.
We've gone way far away from where he started, but I feel like that leads to these things.
Now I'm
the
starting to
those
think
cars get that smart.
Hong Kong needs to go down into the sea.
Ah,
Rapture. A la Sequest DSV.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I loved that show.
Oh, good. Tune in this Wednesday at, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's our autopilot show. A little cross promotion there. All right. Yeah. So thank you, Jimmy, from Arizona for sending in a good thought-provoking prediction. Folks, you can send us your predictions to forecast@twit.tv or post them up on our blog at forecastpodcast.com. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, Netflix. You can stream Sequest DSV's pilot and many other fine shows at netflix.com. And if you haven't tried it out, try it out for free. You can stream it on your Xbox. You can stream it on your iPad. You can stream it on your Android phone. It's all over the place. And you get unlimited streaming every month for one low price. And that low price for your first 30 days is nothing if you go to netflix.com/twit. And if you're already a Netflix subscriber, share that URL around with your friends. netflix.com/twit. We thank them for their support of Tech News Today and also Forecast. I knew I was going to do that one of these days. It finally happened.
Finally. 122 is the magic number.
Done. All right, Brian, we're going to start with you with your predictions. Lay it on us. What is your vision of the future?
Long-term, short-term, just in general?
We got it wide open these days. Anything you want, anything you got. Whatever's kicking around in that brain of yours. Go ahead, fire it out. No, why are you waiting? Why don't you talk?
No pressure or anything.
I was going to say a lot of the future I like to imagine, obviously, is from pop science and stuff like that. And if I were to say the year 3000 was going to be like anything, I would hope it would be like Futurama, where we don't
Slurm.
Slurm, highly addictive. And one of these days, I will give up Slurm. I won't drink it anymore, but just a little bit more.
Just have another
just
sip.
One more sip. But like tubes. Like air tubes that you walk into. And
the pneumatic tubes. Yeah.
And take you. And I remember reading an article about there was going to be a tube they're thinking of building from like China to the west coast of the U.S. And you could get from one side to the other within like 4 hours taking this tube.
You would ride in a capsule in the tube.
I think
I saw this.
Yeah, you would be in a capsule. And the capsules didn't sound like they were very big or anything, like 6-7 people. But that would be pretty neat. This is a future of tubes.
I think future will be a series of tubes, Scott.
The future Futurama version of the tube, the people tubes, only works for me. It actually works for me because you can create enough cushion of air around a guy, right? I think that's possible so that he won't get hurt.
In a capsule.
Even outside of a capsule. Say it's just you.
Really?
And
you think so?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think you could, but here's the trick. You couldn't do that unless you stepped into some chamber where you were immediately with some future technology, not like pills or syringes or other drugs we have now, some immediate way of putting you immediately to sleep, like a Vulcan nerve pinch, just boop, you're out. And then, voonk, and then you go through this tube, you poop out in New York, and as soon as you hit that bottom chamber, bam, you're way wide awake. It's as if you never slept. You're good to roll. That's the only way I'm doing that business. Otherwise, I even kind of want that in the capsule. I even kind of want that with 8 other people.
Shoot, I want that on a plane.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? That's my prediction that I'll add on top of yours.
You don't get to predict your host.
There, Brian.
How you doing?
I believe that this for future travel, I already think current travel is freaky enough. So let's start there. Put us to sleep when we sit down. What is this like? Oh, you know what? It's like Fifth Element again. When they get into that big giant ship, that big cruise ship.
Right.
And they lay down in that thing and they flip a switch and you know, he's out. Dallas is out. He's out for the trip. That's how this needs to go. And it needs to start now. Cryogenic freeze for all our travel.
You know, John C. Dvorak does that when he flies international. He puts himself to sleep immediately. He's like, it's the only way to fly. And then when you wake up, you're there. It's like time travel.
Huh. What does he do to do it? What's his method, his trick?
I have no idea. I haven't asked him the method for his madness.
Mm, scotch, probably. Something like that.
Maybe. I don't know. Sleep. Do you have to be asleep in the tubes, or what about local traffic?
I wouldn't necessarily have to be asleep. I wouldn't mind flying around and looking down below and seeing the streets go by, those automatic cars driving around.
I think for long distances, like you're talking China to L.A., then yeah, I want to be asleep. But yeah, if I'm just tooling around the town, avoiding the self-driving cars.
Well, they'd have to be in capsules, though, because there's a certain, depending on how high up they're going, it'd have to be pressurized, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like planes. You have to be.
I kind of think so, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you could do this. I know in Futurama they do it without capsules.
Well, right. But since it's a cartoon, we'll let that one go. But I'll say this about it. If they do come up with this idea, it actually seems safer than other than sabotage, because I think that's a very sabotageable thing. All you got to do is find a joint somewhere where nobody's paying attention to it, bomb that one corner, and boom, you've ruined the whole system. And three or four people get tossed out into the dirt and die before anyone's the wiser. That scares me a little bit. But let's just say the security was perfect. It does seem like a pretty efficient way to do it. If there's a break in the system, there's not places, all kinds of ways to get injured. It's either from the front or the back. And if you have a way of powering down every capsule so nobody's slamming into each other, piece of cake. Like, it's actually a pretty efficient way to do it. It doesn't seem like it'd be all that expensive. You'd line up. In today's dollars, maybe this technology doesn't exist in this way, we can say that. But in the future, it shouldn't cost that much. We'd have to wait in huge lines, like being at Six Flags or something. Mm-hmm. But I love the idea. That's a great idea. I just need to be able to be asleep. The only request I get to make.
But the problem is, you have to build tubes everywhere you want to go. So it's the same problem we have with trains and you have to build infrastructure. Isn't it better to go Jetsons and have the flying car that, especially if it's a self-driving flying car, you just get in, push a button, tell it where you're going, and then it goes?
It would probably come down to what fuel source you're using, how energy intensive it is.
They got to use a fuel source to force the air through the pneumatic tube, I'm
That's
guessing.
True, too.
What do banks do?
When you deposit, when you do the deposit?
They already do this.
Yeah, it's an air compressor. It's probably running off electricity or
just
gas.
Just a bigger version of this, basically. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a little more of a self-contained infrastructure. They it's right there in the building. They don't have to get tubes. As far as I know, my bank doesn't send any of my tubes to L.A.
There's a weight limit, though. We haven't considered that for the human transport, but I know if you put too many coins in the bank one, it won't work. I know this from experience, actually.
What happens? Does it just stop?
Does it go anywhere? It's like, oh, sir, you got too many coins in the pneumatic tube.
Then you get a traffic jam.
Yeah. Do banks still do that? I mean, when I was growing up, our bank had the pneumatic tubes that you'd drive up, make your deposit, and all of that. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Where I come from in Michigan, they had them.
They still have them.
Yeah.
Scott says you got them.
I use them all the time. I love it. And brand new bank, too. This place is maybe 6 months old, and they have tubes all outside, and they work great. Super efficient.
The only other I've seen it is at Costco, where they have, like, the huge structure of all these tubes going from the cash registers. And they just whoop.
See, we had pneumatic tubes in the University of Illinois main library when I worked there in 1993, and they didn't use them anymore. They had been meant... Because this was the third largest library in the world at the time, or the country anyway, and they had been meant to send to pages. So you'd have pages stationed on the different floors, because there were like 23 floors, and when someone would come up and request a book, you would put the request slip in the pneumatic tube and send it to that floor. The page would get it, go find the book, put the book in the tube, send it back. That was the way they were supposed to request books, but they couldn't keep the tubes running. It was too expensive. So they ended up just saying, well, you know what? The page is all weighed up at the desk. And when someone would have a request, you'd print out the slip, you'd give it to the page, and the page would just go off into the stacks and get it. There was no pneumatic tube anymore.
Well, yeah, but there was no, I'm assuming there was no electronic method of doing this. There was no internet or, networking.
No, I mean, we had an online catalog for people to request the books, but to actually go and physically get the book, you still needed to send somebody there. And I guess we could have had terminals out in the stacks and sent them a little email or something. But that was actually more trouble than it was worth in buying equipment. Terminals were a little more expensive back then than they are now. I guess now you just have a bunch of iPads or something.
Yeah. So easier today.
The human slave labor was far cheaper than the pneumatic tubes.
Yeah, it became the health plan. You just have the pages running, up and down stairs instead of waiting for the pneumatic tubes. But the reason I brought it up is... keeping those pneumatic tubes running was expensive.
Right. More expensive than flying cars, maybe?
I don't know. I'm feeling Jetsons is it's more flexible.
It would be more fun.
You don't have to build a huge infrastructure. You just have to build some rules.
It would be fun if you have flying cars.
It would be a lot
of fun. Yeah, but if they're all automated, though, it still presents everybody with this problem of when is that transition palatable for... at least for Americans who want to have control over everything they're doing. So, like, right now, if you said, hey, everybody, we're done. Your existing cars will just work. We've got this new technology that just taps into everybody. You would have a huge portion of the population going, you ain't going to take my keys out of my dead cold hand. I mean, there'd be all, not that they're all, you know, Southern sounding or anything like that, but I'm just saying people are going to have, they're going to be upset about this idea that you are going to control the way they drive. I think that's going to be a big social barrier for any of us.
You know what? I am confident that that's all but solved at this point. And the reason I think that is because every new car comes with a little bit more of that sort of situation. It's got the self park. It's got the camera. It's got, it's got, you know, cruise control was sort of the first step in this. And we're now seeing more and more to the point where all these people who say, I'm not going to let go of my control of my car, are at some point going to just be pushing a button. And that's the control they won't let go. And everybody be like, yeah, sure, no, you don't let go of control of your car. But nobody's actually going to be driving them anymore. Because it's just going to, like boiling a frog. Slowly, the control is taken away.
Well, automatic transmissions, like outnumber stick shifts now and stuff. So it'll probably become more of an enthusiast thing where if you want to drive your car, you go to like a special track or something.
Yeah, right.
And if you want to do public roads, then you're just going to have to deal with the tubes.
Yeah, yeah, and it'll just be normal. It'll just be like, oh, of course I have self-park. Mm-hmm. I want self-park. That makes it easier to parallel park.
So what happens to cars then? Because, you know, over the weekend, Petaluma had the car show. Will we have a capsule show? Have your own capsule?
Of course.
You can, you know.
Yeah.
Where they're all painted up and tricked out with chrome.
Tricked out capsules.
Yeah. Well, and that gets people over the problem with public transportation in the United States is that it is perceived as low class. If I ride public transportation, that means that I haven't made it. I'm not successful. And I don't think that's true, but that is the perception. A lot of people are like, oh, I want to get a car, drive myself around, show I'm successful. So the capsules, you'll be able to personalize them and show your status by having a personal capsule.
There you go.
Yeah, but where? But who's storing that thing?
Well, that's a whole industry, right? You charge people to store it. There'll be capsules that are non-personalized that you can use for a very small rental fee. But that's what the low class people like me do.
So it'd be like having a boat in the bay. Just keep a dock there all year. You go use it 3 or 4 times, or whatever your frequency is. But it's always sort of there. There's maintenance taking care of it. That's a pretty good idea. That works pretty well. And that way people can retain their individuality and a sense of control even though they have none.
4 words. Bay Area Rapid Tubes.
BART.
Yep. It works. It still works. BART. The acronym.
You want to take the train or the tube, sir?
You want to take the BART? BART.
Use your Clipper card. Get on the BART. All right. Well, great, good prediction. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, guys.
I like where we went with that. So it's now your turn, Josh.
All right.
Open field. Predict whatever you want.
I have a little bit less of a crazy way down the road thing. Mine is more within 5, maybe 10 years.
Okay.
Before radio, like FM radio, dies and goes to, you know, the internet or something, I think there's going to be something that happens in between. I think broadcast radio as we know it is going to become like Pandora stations are now, or like iHeartRadio in the case of Clear Channel, where you know, you have these custom stations for each individual. I think we're going to have custom stations for each market, for each audience, local audience of a station. So the station you listen to now would turn into this customized station, which plays a bunch of songs. You vote thumbs up or thumbs down on whether you like it or not. It uses an algorithm like the one that happens now, but just kind of applies to the whole audience. Because right now, the way radio works is there's a set playlist. There's a static playlist that they come up with even days in advance.
Do they still use Selector?
Yeah, a lot of stations do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the big thing.
So there's an automation 1991.
System.
Yeah, I know. And it still gets used, like, as a standard. But yeah, there's an automation system. It plays and executes these playlists that get made in advance. I think instead of that, they want to move away from having, you know, live DJs, and they want to get rid of the overhead. I know Clear Channel, you know, would be interested in that, I'm sure. They already have iHeartRadio. They're almost kind of doing this already.
They just take our iHeartRadio and put it on the air.
Yep, they put it on the air.
But you're not able to thumbs up and thumbs down things directly. It's not your station.
It's a collective
whole.
But the cool thing about that is, I mean, it's kind of it could be a bad thing and a good thing. I don't like the idea that it kind of removes the aspect of you know, a local person being there, taking calls, interacting with the audience. However, you are interacting with the music, with the playlist, because, you know, you're voting up and down. So different areas like San Francisco may have a very different sounding pop station or rock station than, you know, New York.
Well, it's a radio programmer's dream because no focus groups.
Yeah.
No. What are those things where they bring everybody in the hall and they play the songs and have them rate them up and down? They used to do no more of that. It's just constantly focus grouped all the time.
Right. So right now they're actually doing this with a lot of stations, and they're actually doing another thing where they let listeners go and vote for which song they want to hear next. They're already doing that. They only do that at maybe a couple times an hour. I'm thinking if they were going to do this, it would be all the time. So, like, the next song would be a choice of four that you'd make.
Hmm.
And then, or maybe just the thumbs up, thumbs down. I'm not sure which one is better.
No, it's brilliant. It's like you have single-handedly fixed the broadcast industry, because one of my biggest issues with ever listening to terrestrial radio anymore, with the exception of maybe NPR, because, I don't know, you hear interesting stuff you didn't expect to hear. But even that model could be applied to this, I think, you know, kind of hearing things that are more interesting to you. But if there would be a way to revive that sector, they could see an enormous boom in listenership. I know that if I could just flip on my radio in my car, I got to go to the airport after this show's over. If I could flip on my radio and know that what I'm listening to is about me and not about the station's preset playlist, yet it still retained that kind of live and on, and there's some sort of personality to it, or what, or, you know, all the other things that make radio great or always have made it great, have those two things combined, it would probably change the world a little bit. Like, it would really change the way people think about things. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you ultimately get that to happen, but that's a brilliant idea. I love that.
You're right. You wouldn't have to get rid of the local DJ necessarily. Mm. They could still be there talking to people, getting phone calls, whatever they're doing. But the music would be selected by it would be a community thing.
Well, and I think, you know, I think one of the things you're jumping to that maybe some people in the audience don't realize is that's really the way it is already. The DJ isn't sitting there crafting the music for you. You know,
that
was the old days. That was FM radio in the 60s. And there's probably a good place for that now on the internet. Lots of folks are doing that. But the radio stations that you listen to, you generally have this selector picked music, or we use something called Formax, that is a computer that says, okay, you've got a catalog of these 600 songs, and we're going to rotate them through, and we're going to make sure they match in tempo and vary, and then that is printed out, and a DJ, I don't even think they get a printout, it's just lined up in a computer.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, these are the songs you're going to play. The DJ doesn't pick. It's already picked for them.
Right. Mr. Mike in the chat room, though, brings up an interesting thing. That makes your local radio station hackable. So someone could get in there, and it could be playing Rebecca Black's Friday on repeat all day long if they don't do this carefully enough.
Yeah, well, obviously they're going to still need human intervention to make sure that somebody didn't get in and game the system.
But what
people are going to try.
Yeah. They're trying to get rid of, because what I think what they want to do eventually is have all of the stations, all the local clusters of stations, be completely self-run, like not have people at them.
Yeah.
That's the mistake I think they're making.
Well, and I think you're right. I think if you have personalities, maybe just for morning and afternoon drive, it's
sure.
important, then you have an edge over the other folks. Brian, what do you think of this idea?
It's be pretty cool to have it like that. Because right now, the radio barely works in my car as it is. And there are some weird stations that I come across. I would kind of miss that, like, just scanning through the radio and just, you know, randomly coming across something rather than having like...
Well, I think those college music and independent stations would still be around. It's just the big stations, the Clear Channel owned type of stations, CBS radio owned stations, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Then, yeah, that would be pretty neat.
But the reason I started thinking about this was because they have iHeartRadio, which is already... I mean, it would be such an easy transition. They've
and
already
CBS
got
owns
this
Last
in place.
FM.
They do. Okay, so there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. This is an important thing to note, I think. So just watching Twit right now, chances are if you watched Tech News today, big part of why you watched it is because you really like the flair, the style, or the personality that Tom may bring, or Iaz may bring, or Sarah may bring, or all of them. Or maybe you just like listening to Jason pop in once in a while. Whatever your reason is, those things count. Anybody can sit down and go, well, here's what's going on in tech news today. Let's talk about it. And if you are not buying into the personality presentation and likability of who's presenting it, then I think that's where you start to lose. So I really do think it's important that these local stations can retain that. And maybe we've had this model of morning, there's some kind of personality, and sometimes drive time there's personality, and the rest of the day is just spinning the hits. Maybe that just needs to change, and we get more of an all-day format that is more personality-driven with more control from the user, but there's still those personalities. I think that's key. Nobody would listen to FilmSack if me and the boys were lame and boring to listen to, but they like our show because we're interesting, and they like our personalities, and they think we're funny. Well, what's the difference? To me, it's the same, and you know, there's something about the Johnny Fever mentality that I still really like. This guy who's got a personality, he's almost a character of his own.
But that's kind of what podcasts do now.
It does. You're right. You're right.
But and that's why
I'm just saying radio could get some of that back. That's all I'm saying.
That's why I think music stations will probably move or transform more than talk stations do right now. But they're also making a mistake because talk stations are just, in most markets, they're not doing as much local stuff anymore either. They're just piping in syndicated content. And in my opinion, that's going to be their own competition, because in a world where people are searching for content, they're not going to search for the local affiliate. They're going to search for Rush Limbaugh, or they're going to search for Leo Laporte, or they're going to search for the host or the show.
You know, the question here that it raises to me, because I think this is brilliant, because when you look at what radio wants to do, which is have instantly tested perfect music for the audience, something like iHeartRadio or Pandora is exactly what they want. It's their dream. There's no interaction required by a program director. There's no guesswork. You find out exactly what the audience wants and you play it based on an algorithm. That's what they've been wanting since the 80s. But can radio survive long enough to make the transition to that, when right now I don't need the radio? I've plugged my phone into an aux jack and I've got infinite radio.
But you're different than a lot of people.
Yeah, but I am. I'm on the edge of this. I understand that. But more and more people are having smartphones. 50% of the U.S. has smartphones. All cars comes with an aux jack, and some of them are even integrated for your Android and iPhone. So people are going to and we're getting better and better coverage over 3G and LTE. People are going to start to realize, hey, wait a minute, I've got access to, not just Twit, but amazing content, BBC, radio, Al Jazeera, over my phone. I'm not going to listen to the terrestrial radio anymore. And in that case, terrestrial radio then becomes a service provider on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So does that change the dynamics of this, or would this play right into your prediction?
I think it would still play right in, because here's the thing. Everybody kind of takes pride of where they're from, where they live. Like, you know, if you're from San Francisco, you're going to be like, yay, San Francisco. Or if you're from Ohio, you're going to be like, oh, I love Ohio. Well, what that does is it gives that city, you know, a personality. Like, you know, it's the city's choice, communal choice of what music is the best.
Yeah, and I have to agree. Like, I will go online on my phone and listen to KMOX and KSHE 95 from St. Louis.
It's because you like your hometown vibe.
Yeah.
So this gives you the hometown vibe that, you know, you still look for, but it's still interactive. So you're still on your phone. You're going, you know, okay, I don't want to hear this song again. And if enough people vote it down, or if it becomes overplayed, well, then it will be played less.
Yeah, I think it's the problem. The biggest problem with this being implemented in any kind of speedy fashion is really just the existing walled up infrastructure of current day radio. And it's been the same for so long, and it's hard, and it's FCC this, and it's get your license that, and it's broadband, you know, it's what band are we, and how do we get that, and how do we lock down our stupid call numbers, and all these things that are all there as part of the existing infrastructure are prohibitive for an idea like this. That just needs to be loosened up, and somebody real smart needs to get in charge of Clear Channel or somebody and just change the way they think about these things, because the technology to do what you're saying is here and now. It's not like we couldn't do it tomorrow, but that business is so wound up in its own poop for so long that it doesn't know how to do it. It doesn't know how to transition. I think that'd be awesome if they did. It'd be amazing.
So here's the next question, which is if radio makes the transition and they use this algorithm you're speculating on, and they localize their content and they inject a little personality there, so you know you're listening to your local algorithm run station, do you prefer to use that over your own personally tailored Pandora station?
Ooh, that's a tough choice. I would probably do my personally tailored Pandora selection.
You'd forego the personality
right,
for the music.
Because my tastes are a little bit different than a lot of people that I know that live in the area. But along this idea, isn't this kind of like turntable where...
Yeah, so there's stuff out there already. It's not being broadcast over... Mm. See, the thing is it's not really what those radio stations have. It's not their transmitter. It's not what they're broadcasting. It's that brand.
Yeah. Right.
They have the brand. So people are interested like, hey, you know, KMOX, is that what you said was...
Yeah, well, that's AM talk. KC95 is rock and roll, heritage rock and roll station.
All right, well, there's a brand to that people still... may have in their mind. That's what really, and that's why I say, like, in the future, way down the road, the transmitter sticks are going to go away and this stuff is going to move to apps or online.
Yeah. Right.
But then it's still got to be something. And this is another thing to think about. What if Pandora were to say, I don't know, to increase, because advertisers are a little bit behind too. Advertisers are going to see, oh, this is on the air. Well, then that's a higher value.
Nobody gets fired for buying the traditional media. They get fired for buying the internet.
What if Pandora started buying radio stations to put their, you know, content?
Yeah,
on?
Pandora community radio station where all of the that gets played is based on what the collective are saying about what they want to hear. There are some stations here locally that do this thing where their entire playlist all day are requests. That's all they do is requests. So people call in, they request that they play it. The problem is, well, there's a bunch of problems, but BS is one. But even if it was true, think about what that means. All that is one dude saying, I really want to hear this one song by one certain artist, and that's it. You're not really getting any collective, you know, zeitgeist about what is really big and what's not. And so even if they weren't faking that, even if that was real, it still doesn't work. It doesn't answer the question that some of these devices do. And all I know is this. I have a 70-year-old mother who just discovered Pandora on her iPad, and her life changed. Like, she's one of those people that you think is still out there listening in your car, but she just turned, and they're running out of time. So if they want to retain more of these people who are not too hip to the technology yet but have smart sons who can tell them what to do, then they better get on the stick, because you're right. We don't want
a brother?
I just don't want to... I don't want to be... Very funny. He's not very smart, but if I was 30 years in the future, if I jump ahead 30 years in the future, I don't want to go there in my time travel tube and find out that we have just let radio languish and then eventually die, because I feel like there's something there to be had. It's not like other tech where, boy, I'm glad we're not using manual typewriters anymore. It's not like that for me. Something about traditional terrestrial radio broadcast everywhere at once with all the bandwidth you need to do that has power still. And I hope, you know, hope somebody figures it out.
Fred Flintstone in the chat room, I want to address what he says, because XM Sirius already has stations, he said, that are totally driven by subscribers and doing this kind of thing. Only problem with that is they're charging, you know, a monthly fee.
Right.
This would have to be free.
Advertising supported. Interesting. Well, there's a lot of different ways for radio to go. I think this is a really interesting idea, and it seems to fit perfectly into the transition. Whether a very historically resistant to change industry can make the move or not.
That's the problem.
Is the question.
They're too stubborn.
Yeah, they are. They're very stubborn. Okay, well, is it... check your watch, Mr. Johnson.
Well, wait a minute. According to my watch, which right now is one hair past a mole because I'm not wearing one, it is time for four questions. That's where we get
Utah Standard Time, I see.
UST, that's right. We ask our guests our questions rapid-fire style. They are not allowed to think too hard about it.
Uh-oh.
Neither the old Twit editor nor the new. You both have to do this super fast and from the gut. I will ask my questions of Brian. Brian, are you ready?
I am ready, Scott.
All right, here we go, sir. Which fast food chain do you hope is the first to have fully automated robot-controlled food production and delivery?
In-N-Out would be great.
Oh, that would be
And if it was delivered by a helicopter, a robot helicopter, and dropped into my hand as I walked outside.
That's all what right. A robot's all about.
Sure. That's the future version of the kids on roller skates at the whatever
you,
that place
is called. You, sir, are a visionary.
Amazing. Number two, what famous celebrity do you hope is the first zombie?
I had to think quick about that, didn't I?
Stop thinking.
Get out of my head.
Just say Jennifer Aniston.
She wouldn't be a very attractive zombie. No,
she'd be terrible.
Zoe Deschanel.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. Actually, I would have also accepted Mel Brooks or possibly, I can't think of anyone else. So, yes, congratulations.
Well, once the her show thing. New Girl fails, it'll just be New Zombie. New
Today, zombie. We're brains.
And let's see, number three. Who would win in a fight, the Decepticons or the Emoticons?
Ooh. I'd have to go Decepticons, but it would be a close battle.
Right. And they'd all frowny face when they lose.
If I didn't love your Decepticon question so much, I would totally call you for them not being predictive.
No, it's not at all.
But they're too awesome.
I mean, if big giant robots fight in the future.
Exactly.
And
exactly. There you go.
Yeah. Who would win those or something we type in our
In the
tweets.
Future when okay. there are huge giant robots.
Right.
Is implied. You don't need to say
exactly.
It.
Implied. Here's the last question. Robot pets. Okay, sorry. In the future, robot pets. Which do you want first? Dogs, cats, fish, or something else?
Dog. I already decided. I always wanted a robo puppy.
Canine.
The only problem with having a robo puppy is that after he goes to the bathroom, you have to refill him.
Daggett. He wants his own Daggett.
Oh, no, not Daggett.
It'd be like Doctor Who.
Yeah,
Robo Dog or whatever.
Totally. Was Daggett the kid's name? Daggett was
Daggett
the kid.
Is the what it is. It's a no. Boxy was the kid.
Boxy's the kid. I always got him confused.
And then it was his Daggett.
Yeah.
Daggett
either
was the
way,
word for dog.
Either way, both horrible mistakes. But congratulations, Brian. You have successfully navigated the gauntlet that is hard or our quick fire questions. Tom, over to you.
All right, Josh, are you sitting comfortably?
No, not at all.
Good, then we'll begin.
Okay.
Question number one.
Uh-oh.
How will we get around in the future? Cars, trains, planes, or teleportation?
Trains. Not teleportation. I'm scared to death of teleportation. Yeah. I am adamantly opposed to it.
But it's just ripping all your molecules apart
and reassembling
them later.
You're inside somebody's fridge or something. It's a horrible idea. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, you have to die in order for it to work. No, thank you.
So you die a few times. You get there faster.
But you won't be yourself anymore.
You won't notice.
You would notice.
No, you'd be exactly the same.
Yeah. I disagree. Anyway.
Question number two. When we finally unify relativity and quantum mechanics, what will be the first benefit? We figured out the standard model. We know quantum gravity and relativity can be combined in one elegant theory. And our first benefit is...
This is hard. teleportation. Can I say that again?
That's ironically funny.
It applies.
Our first benefit is teleportation, which I refuse to use.
Not a benefit.
Okay, teleportation. That works. That's your final answer?
Yes, final answer.
You are correct.
Do I get $1 million? Yeah.
Question number three. Yeah. What percentage of our bodies will be made up of nanobots 100 years from now?
Mm. Ooh. Well, I think it would increasingly become more
on
and
average,
more.
Yeah.
So. I'd say 70%.
70% nanobots.
Yep.
I was inspired with this question by the Scientific American this month, which the cover story is about bacteria. And did you know that bacteria outnumber your own cells 10 to 1?
Really? But that's good bacteria.
Yeah. Wow. So nanobots could make up over 100% if they just replaced all the bacteria.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
70% though. Got it. Question number four. Everybody wants to clone and revive dinosaurs. Fine. Okay. Jurassic Park dream. We get it. What other extinct animal will we clone and revive?
Man, these questions are hard because, like, when you asked him about the celebrity, think of any celebrity on the spot and you start to freeze.
Yeah. You're like, I don't want to say Gwyneth Paltrow, but that's what came to mind.
Right. extinct animals. Other than dinosaurs, man, that.
There's lots of suggestions in the chat room.
I forget.
If you want to phone a friend, get a lifeline.
You're right. What are snorks?
I don't know either, but that's pretty awesome. My eye went right to that one, too.
Snorks.
All right. Yeah, obviously, snorks would be the first thing anyone would watch.
Snorks were like a cartoon in the 80s, I think, snorks were, weren't they?
Snork is pretty much my favorite
animal.
And
they're delicious.
I remember those.
If you're going to bring anything back from the dead, it better be tasty so you can at least take advantage of that.
Oh, sure, yeah. I would probably go for a liger.
A liger, yeah.
A liger. Yeah. Mm. A land shark. But the thing is, these have to have existed in the past.
Right, exactly.
So
now we're just going into clone
nothing.
Craziness. Saber-toothed tiger.
Man, yeah.
Brontosaurus wasn't a real thing. It was a misnomer.
Yeah.
Sad but true. All right,
hipster
ligers exist today.
Liver.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
they
there
do.
You go. So my dream has come true, and now I can end the show. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye. No, that's it. You've completed four questions.
Wow.
Do you feel okay?
Yeah, I do.
Good.
I do.
You have survived. And I apologize for the... I just finished reading Scientific American, so that's why I had such horrible questions for you.
Such scientific questions. Yeah. I've been watching Big Bang Theory a lot lately, but yeah. I still wasn't prepared for that one.
you need to soak in it a little more. Well, thank you both for joining us today. Of course, Brian, you are an editor, as both of you are, here at Twit, but let folks know where they can find you online and follow you and do all that good stuff.
Well, my Twitter is cranky_hippo, and also if you type in brianburnett.com, that goes to my Google Plus page.
Oh, nice.
I've got some photos and stuff on there. So.
You attended Life.
I did.
Me too.
Yeah, Hard Knocks, actually.
Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, check it out. Brianburnett.com, that's B-U-R-N-E-T-T. And Josh Windisch, our newest editor here at Twit. Where can folks find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at The Mac and Josh. That's T-H-E, Mac and Josh.
Ah.
Like it. Macintosh with
right.
a J.
Right.
I have to explain that to some people.
Well, those are people you don't want following you.
Or groovypost.com. I actually do some writing for them. I haven't done a piece in a while. I should really get back to work on that. But actually, we're going to start a podcast soon, too, so... Check
Excellent.
That out.
What's Groovy Post? What's there?
They
other
do a
than
lot of
Groovy Post.
It's a lot of well, it's whatever's groovy in tech we talk about. But then there's also how tos. There's a lot of how tos on the post or on the site.
On the site. Excellent. All right, groovypost.com. Check it out. Scott Johnson, you're in the whirlwind of 1 month until Nerdtacular.
Yeah, and just shy a couple of days.
Tickets
are gone.
So what would you like to tell the folks about?
Wow, there's so much going on. I will say this, if you are planning on coming, make sure you check the forums and stuff because there's a concert the night before even, not a concert, but like some bands playing at a local hangout, which, by the way, had voted the best fried chicken in all of Salt Lake City, which is
really
kind of awesome. I've never been there. It's called The Garage. And it's very popular and cool. Anyway, we got a couple of bands coming to play. Ibbot sort of worked all that out. That looks like a lot of fun. Live film sack at the event. Tom and Veronica will be there. Tons and tons of cool stuff going on. Details at nerdtacular.com. And then I would also just put a quick plug in for the other show Tom and I do each and every week called Autopilot. And this week we are indeed talking about Sequest DSV, the pilot episode of that show that comes out every Wednesday. This episode will be out Wednesday this week. And you can find it at autopilotshow.com.
Yep. Check it out, folks. Thanks thanks everybody who's given us good feedback on that show. We just review a different pilot of a television show every week. It's
a blast.
It's awesome.
It's really
fun.
Yep.
And now I'm hungry for fried chicken. So we must go. but thank you all for watching or listening. You can find us live on Mondays at 4 p.m. No show next week because of Memorial Day, but we'll be back in 2 weeks with an all-new episode. Don't forget to leave comments at our website, forecastpodcast.com, or send us an email to forecast@twit.tv. That's it for this episode of Forecast. We'll see you in the future. See what
future.
I try to avoid saying that every episode.
Goodbye.
32 years.
Wait.
Hi, Mom.
Wait. Did your mom really listen?
She was trying to before the show. I don't know if she actually got the app to work or not.
She needed to call Scott's mom.
Yeah,
commiserate. Scott's mom's the expert.
See, now, if Twit could be on broadcast radio, then it wouldn't have been a problem.
I know. I think it's going to get that simple, though, where using apps and stuff is... It's going to be like broadcast radio.
Well, the app is pretty simple now, but it's still...
It's just a learning curve for people.
I think she got into settings or something and couldn't figure out how to...
Well, and there's also, there's connection errors right now because 3G isn't quite there and LTE still... It's going to take a while for ubiquitous internet to be as reliable as a radio transmission to where we expect it to work 95% of the time.
I have to say this because it's too funny. Given the increasing popularity of pop fodder like Twilight and Hunger Games, leading to the increase of cat ladies, will it eventually give way to an asexual cat-based society?
Yes. I think Sarah probably thinks that's absolutely true. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Drew, my friend in Michigan.
Ooh. That's awesome. I love that.
And I wish
got I the
could...
I got the World of Warcraft Monopoly game, Tom.
There's a Monopoly?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I heard you guys talking about that.
Yeah, I don't think they're actually out yet, but here, Tony, if you want to see it.
Nice.
Whoa,
I haven't actually opened it.
So, are the streets zones, essentially?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Like
the Barons.
The Dark Portal.
Dungeons.
See.
repair fees instead of the whatever it used to be.
Rent.
Yeah, rent. Let's see, what's this one? The Barons. Yeah, they're all like stuff you know from all over the world. The only thing that's weird is they kept the cheesy go to jail and the free parking. Those are all the same. And I think they do that with all the themed Monopoly games.
Free parking?
Go to jail could make sense, especially if you spell it G-A-O-L. But free
but they
parking?
Just don't illustrate it. It's just like the same mount? One as yeah. on a standard Monopoly. It looks like the same cartoon guy.
I guess you're parking your mount.